The epistle to be read today for the last Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, and all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. In the Holy Gospel, it's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then that they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath, for there shall be then great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east, and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also gather together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall give not her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall say, 'Gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens unto the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof now is tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my word shall not pass." Thus for the words of today's Holy Gospel. "Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven." These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A newspaper writer began his column with these words: "I have cancer, and I'm going to die, but I am not afraid." With those words, Forrest Warren, a 7-year-old newspaper man, started his column in the San Diego Daily Journal on May 17th in 1949. "I am glad the doctor told me," he wrote. "I think all cancer sufferers should be told." Continuing, he wrote, "It is not pleasant news. No one wants to die. But it does give you a chance to get your house in order. And that is very important." What he means by getting his house ready is that he put his life in order. and prepared his soul for its journey towards eternity. Of course, Warren did not know the exact time of his death when he wrote, "Only God knows when it will be." Warren wrote of his impending death in his column in order to bring, as he said, a measure of comfort to others who are hopelessly ill and face to face with their Maker, just as he was. Now, my dear faithful, in today's gospel, it contains two prophecies. These prophecies were spoken by our Lord himself. And first, our Lord tells us about the destruction of Jerusalem and the Holy Temple. This prophecy was fulfilled in the year 70 AD, about 40 years after our Lord's death. It was fulfilled when the Romans laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. Over 1 million Jews were killed by the Romans, and the city was completely destroyed so that not a stone was left upon a stone. And as our Lord said, it would be the worst persecution of a nation that the world would witness from its creation. The Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, who was an eyewitness, said that the destruction of Jerusalem, "I am of the opinion," he wrote, "that no other city ever suffered such calamities, nor in any other nation was the wickedness of the sedition more ferocious." Now, the second prophecy our Lord gives us is about the end of the world. Our Lord tells us some of the signs by which we will know that the end of the world is very near. He speaks of the great sufferings of the last days, and he describes the natural catastrophes that will occur. He also warns against the false prophets and the Antichrist, and how they will deceive many people. And all these things our Lord describes in today's gospel. The reason, my dear faithful, why our Lord warns us of these trials and persecutions in the gospel is that we may be prepared for them. He doesn't tell us these things to discourage us, for he is our loving Father. Rather, he tells us these things to strengthen and encourage us. He tells us these things to warn us, just as a good father warns his son and daughters of the dangers in the world. Cornelius de Lapide, the great scripture scholar, says, "Our Lord tells us these things to strengthen believers against all hardships and trials and make them as firm as a rock." In other words, we must not be troubled or lose confidence, but have greater courage, that we may be prepared for the greater evils which will follow. Our Lord also foretells the disasters and persecutions at the end of the world, to remind us that this world will soon come to an end. Perhaps some of us here this morning may even live to see the actual end of the world. But whether we do live to see the end of the world, the end of our own lives will surely come for all of us. For one day we will die. Death for each one of us is certain. As St. Paul wrote in the Epistle to the Hebrews, "It is appointed unto men once to die." That we will die is certain, but we do not know is the hour of our death. Our death, our own end of the world, will come, and perhaps it is nearer to us than we even think. For more often than not, death comes when we least expect it. Therefore, my dear faithful, we must be prepared. And if we are prepared, we will have no inordinate or anxious fear when death approaches, just as the newspaper reporter had no fear of death. Many of us fail to realize in our daily lives that the thought of death is one of the greatest means to keep us from sinning. In other words, if the reality of death and judgment to follow were always before us, we would sin less often. St. Alphonsus says, if you wish to live well, spend the remaining days of life with death before your eyes. That is to say, give some time to a reasonable consideration of the truth and reality of death. It is not to be a morbid thought, but it is to help us to keep us from sinning and to remind us why we are really here. And with such a consideration, there must always be determination to lead a good Catholic life. That is, to keep God's commandments, to receive the sacraments more devoutly and faithfully, and, of course, to say our daily rosary, and to avoid those occasions of sin. By these means, we are now preparing for our death and getting our house in order, so to speak. As St. Paul said in the Epistle to the Romans, as you live, so shall you die. And if we strive to live in a life of sanctifying grace, then we will likely spend our eternity in heaven. But God forbid, if we are content to live in a life of mortal sin, then we will most likely spend our eternity in hell. And so as we close another year in the church and begin a new year next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, let us resolve to live our lives as befits good Catholics, with a reasonable thought of death in that how short this life really is. It will help us to avoid the occasions of sin. It will help us to keep the commandments and to say our daily prayers and rosary. So remember to begin this new year of Advent and to give some of our time to a holy and reasonable thought of death, mindful of the words of St. Augustine, who says, he who has lived well cannot die badly, and he who is prepared to die fears no death, no matter how sudden. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.